Sang a song, Bhajan, dealing with the glories of Lord Chaitanya and his associates, composed by Narottam Das Thakur, pointing out the great mercy of Lord Chaitanya, his Patita Pavana. Sometimes we chant Srila Prabhupada's Kirtan with Srila Prabhupada's Patita Pavana also. Patita Pavana is the savior of the most fallen. So in Kali Yuga we're all very fallen, not to discriminate, but those of us who not come from India, we tend to be a little bit more fallen because we grew up in a more materialistic society with some very so-called modern ideas, and you're often not even educated about the difference between sinful activity and activities for purification, nor did we even understand the need for it, for becoming purified. So the process has been made so much easier by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna said, Sarva Dharma Parityajaya, you come surrender. But Lord Chaitanya, he Magi Vana Bhat Magi Keha Patra Baha Pata Ihara Charan Ahe Jani Deya Mata. Not even asking who deserved and who didn't deserve, who asked for it and who didn't ask for it. Lord Chaitanya liberally distributed the fruits of love of Godhead to everyone, anyone and everyone. Lord Sri Krishna says, you first surrender, I'll save you from all sinful reactions. But Lord Chaitanya just freely gave out the mercy. He went all over India chanting Hare Krishna until the Prabhupada expanded that movement to fulfill the prophecy that every town and village of the whole world would hear the chanting of my holy name. And I shouldn't say the rest is history, because the rest is just starting. It's just the beginning of the history of how Lord Chaitanya's movement will become. So we very sincerely analyze all different movements and social movements and political movements and religious groups. We realize that although we haven't really in different parts of the world, not everywhere we are really as strong as we would like to be. I think in America, Buddhism is more popular than Hare Krishna by a lot right now. What to speak of so many kinds of Christianity or almost Christianity or whatever. So we have a long way to go. There are other countries. I'm going to be visiting Ukraine in a few days from now, and they're quite developed there. Some people compare the whole atmosphere there with ISKCON in the 1970s, when in America was at its heyday, minus the hippies. So it's quite organized, enthusiastic, and very and serious. The lawyers are so serious there to spread Krishna consciousness, doing a fantastic job, and they have pretty well developed. And they're out going to India, where Krishna consciousness is flourishing, a number of very, very large project. Here in America, we have a lot of work to do. We have to really try harder, learning from our errors from the past. So, anyway, this song, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are required, and one should have faith that we'll get the mercy of the two lords by chanting the holy name and spreading the Sankirtan movement, doing whatever we can. Hanuman was able to lift and fly through the air with an entire mountain. So at least we can carry our grain, a little grain. And that, if we do it sincerely, it'll be just as pleasing to the Lord. And then in this song also the importance of satsang, the importance of associating with devotees, is so important, emphasized. Ramachandra Sange Mage Narottama Das. The song is written by Narottam Das Thakur, and he had a very close friend devotee whose name was Ramachandra. So there's always, at the end of the song he says, I'm always hankering for the association of my friend, my devotee friend Ramachandra. And then Prabhupada explains in the purport how a devotee always wants to be in association with other devotees. It's an important part of the process. So as I mentioned, today is the anniversary, a few hundred years ago, more than 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya was cleaning the temple. And the cleaning of the temple, this was a temple before before the Rath Yatra, Rundicha. The temple in Boston, our ISKCON temple, is also called New Rundicha Dham. It's the name of Shiva. About the time I joined in 75 when I moved in the temple. So there's a chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 12. It's called The Cleansing of the Rundicha Temple. So the first part of the presentation tonight is I just want to share with you this pastime. I'll try to read the Bengali also if that's okay. And that should go on. Only 15 minutes. I'll see what I can do in 15 minutes. I may have to skip some verses. Or may have to stop reading the Bengali to see how it goes. So it starts with text 72. Quite a few verses, actually. Time will run out. So I'll just read as much as I can. I'll just summarize. See, what I'd like to do is try to read these verses and work up to verse 135, maybe read a couple of verses after that. And then the purport for verse 135 is extensive. I'll read some of it or all of it. And you'll see that it's quite relevant to our practice of Krishna consciousness. So this is kind of a pastime which is very, as all Lord Chaitanya's leelas, it's extremely nectarian, extremely enlightening to hear about. But at the same time, there are so many lessons to be learned. And it's such, it's so relevant to our attempt to advance in Krishna consciousness. So the beginning of the chapter described the relationship between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his very, very great devotees called King Kashyapa Rudra, who was not allowed to see the Lord, at least for some time, because he was a king. And Lord Chaitanya, as a sannyas, he wanted to set the perfect example, so he didn't want to be seen associating with the king. Even though he knew that King Kashyapa Rudra was a wonderful, great, loving devotee. In fact, the king said, if I can't get audience with Lord Chaitanya, then I'm giving up my kingdom and I'm going to become a beggar, a mendicant. I'm just going to beg from door to door and completely give up my whole kingdom. Then later on he'll even say, I'm going to kill myself if I can't get darshan with Lord Chaitanya. So the following all etiquette and showing such wonderful loving dealings between all the devotees, among the devotees, somehow or another, King Kashyapa finally got darshan of the Lord. In this chapter, it shows a preliminary stage where Lord Chaitanya gave him a piece of his cloth, so at least he wouldn't completely like become too discouraged. And also then, Lord Chaitanya agreed that he could send his son. So the king sent a prince, seeing him. It's a very wonderful description, how ecstatic that was, and how it was at least temporarily fulfilling for the king. It was assuaged, because just by embracing his son, he felt like he was embracing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had embraced his son and had bestowed his mercy fully upon the young prince to obtain all ecstatic symptoms. So the next part of the chapter is the cleansing of the Rundicha temple. So it's describing that Rath Yatra time arrived, the car festival, Rath Yatra, Rath is car, Rath Yatra festival, Lord Jagannath. And then starting with text 72, Ratame Kashivishre Prabhu Golaina, Paticha Patra Sarvabhume Polana Anila, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first of all, called for Kashivishra, then for the superintendent of the temple, then for Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya. Nitana Pashe Prabhu Hashiya Kahilam. Gundichama Niramarchana Sevama Ginilam. When these three people came before the Lord, he begged them to wash the temple known as Gundicha. Now the translation may imply that he begged them that, would you all go and wash the temple? No, that's not what they were. He wanted himself to go and wash the temple. And then in the purport, Prabhupada tells about this Gundicha temple, that it's situated 2 miles northeast of the Jagannath temple. And gives some geographical details about the temple and how big it was, etc., etc. Adichaka he ami sava sevaka tomaram ye tomara ichase kartavya amaram. Upon hearing the Lord's request for them to wash the Gundicha temple, the Padicha, the superintendent of the temple, said, "My dear sir, we are all your servants. Whatever you desire is our duty to perform." I'm going to have to skip verse, I'll just summarize. Here what happens is King Prataparudra, he already instructed all the servants of the temple to give Lord Chaitanya whatever he needs, to serve him completely. He was such a great devotee, he wanted to make sure that Lord Chaitanya's activities were completely facilitated and there wouldn't be any obstacles in his kingdom, at least. So they said, the king gave us an order to do whatever you wish. But then they also said, but washing the temple is not befitting to you, sir. But if you really want to do it, well, just accept it as one of your leelas, as one of your pastimes. So then they say, well, if you really want to wash the temple, you're going to need lots and lots of buckets of water pots and brooms. Therefore, order me. I can do whatever, I can immediately get them to you. This is the Padicha, the superintendent of the temple. As you already see, I'm not going to have time to read it. As soon as the superintendent understood the desire of the Lord, he immediately delivered. Anyone know how many he delivered? How many water pots and how many brooms? 100. 100 water pots and 100 brooms. Sata, gata, sata, samarjana. And then the next day, early in the morning, the Lord took his personal associates with him and with his own hands smeared sandalwood pulp on their bodies. He then gave each devotee a broom with his own hand, and taking all of them personally with him, the Lord went to Gundicha. You know, sometimes we hear about Krishna Leela and we accept it and we, as I was saying last Wednesday or Thursday, we engage in temporary suspension of doubt. We try to at least listen sympathetically or some of the stories to see, no, how could this possibly be that Lord Bohr lifted the whole Earth planet or something? It must be true, it's in the Shastra, but I have so much trouble relating to it as an actual reality, the way I understand reality. But when we hear about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, we don't have that problem, although some of them are still like absolutely amazing and miraculous, but still, this is all history. This is all recorded, quote-unquote, only 500 or so years ago. And you can look in the encyclopedias and you'll see Lord Chaitanya started the spiritual revolution in India. You'll also see how certain modern commentators don't quite understand. They don't catch it, as they say, what was really going on. They thought Lord Chaitanya was epileptic. One time Lord Chaitanya even said he was epileptic, but he did it because he didn't want to reveal what was really happening when some Pathan Muslims arrested him. And he was unconscious due to ecstatic emotion. Anyway, it's a whole pastime. But what point I'm making is that these pastimes are relatively recent history and they're much more believable, to put it in a very crude manner. And they are their history. Yet at the same time, these are many of these pastimes are quite intimate, and we're very fortunate to have Krishnadas Kaviraj's authorized biography at our disposal. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada's amazing work of translating into English and his wonderful commentaries, one of which we'll focus on a little in a few minutes. So in this way, they cleansed the temple with brooms. First thing was brooms. The Lord cleansed everything inside the temple very nicely, including the ceiling. He then took up the sitting place, Shingasan, cleansed it, and again put it in its original place. Then the Lord and his companions cleansed and swept all the temple's buildings, big and small, and finally cleansed the area between the temple and the meeting place. Indeed, hundreds of devotees were engaged in cleansing all around the temple, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally carrying out the operation just to instruct others. I feel I'm a little unnecessarily Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the temple in great jubilation, chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna all the time. Similarly, all the devotees were also chanting at the same time, performing their respective duties. There used to be a song for kids called Whistle While You Work. It probably still gets around. So they weren't whistling, they were chanting Hare Krishna and working like anything, but they were completely ecstatic. In fact, as we'll hear, well, the only thing they said was Krishna. The entire beautiful body of the Lord was covered with dust and dirt. In this way it became transcendentally beautified. At times when cleansing the temple, the Lord shed tears, and some places even cleansed with those tears. After this, the place where the deity's food was kept, Bhoga Mandir, was cleansed. Then the yard was cleansed, and all the residential quarters, one after the other. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu collected all the straw, dust and grains of sand in one place, he gathered it all in his cloth and threw it outside. Following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees in great jubilation began to gather straws and dust with their own cloths and then threw them outside in the temple. The Lord then told the devotees, I can tell how much you have labored and how well you have cleansed the temple simply by seeing all the straw and dust you have collected outside. So that's like practical. When we're cleaning, who's the best cleaner? If everyone's cleaning, who's got the biggest pile of dirt? Who's the most enthusiastic to clean? So it describes that although the devotees collected dirt in one pile, all the dirt collected by all the devotees was not as big as the pile of dirt collected by the Lord. And he was the most enthusiastic. And it just goes on and on. It's so thorough, the cleansing process. It describes how they cleansed and then first with brooms, and then the next thing came the buckets. And that was 100 buckets. And then they started throwing water, the Lord showing the example. Some devotees were praised by the Lord, others were rebuked a little that you're not doing. Those that were praised said, show others how to do it nicely the way you're doing it, and it became a whole project. And it was so thorough, with hundreds of devotees cleaning. In this section is described how they threw the water on the ceiling, and the water came down and cleansed the walls and the floor. And then they did the whole thing again, and it says that it appeared as though Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was cleaning and washing with 100 hands. He approached everyone just to teach them how to work. And it's also described that when someone needed a bucket or needed a broom or whatever they needed for their work, or if they had a question, everything was communicated just by Krishna. They would say, Krishna, Krishna,
oh, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Everything was, all they said was Krishna, anything, you know. And yet it was, they communicated very well. They got the job done and they did what they had to do. There was an incident where a Vaishnava from Bengal came and he threw water on the Lord's feet and then he drank that water. And the Lord was inwardly pleased to see his enthusiasm, but as a teacher, the Lord chastised and told Swoop Damodar, he said, just see the behavior of your Bengali Vaishnavas. Anyone here from Bengal? Just see the behavior of your Bengali Vaishnava. That person from Bengal has washed my feet within the temple of the Lord. Not only that, but he has drunk the water himself. And there's an interesting purport about the etiquette. And Srila Prabhupada is such an amazing personality that he actually allowed the devotees to worshipped him even though the curtains, the altar were open. Now someone here who doesn't know much about Srila Prabhupada would say, oh, that's against the Shastra, and why did he do that? He must be very prideful. But if one has some understanding of Prabhupada's character, instead of making us feel that it was a mistake, it just gives us some hint of the stature of Srila Prabhupada, that he allowed that to be done for himself. There's no question of false pride. Tripurari Swami, my senior godbrother, he asked Srila Prabhupada on a morning walk that the nectar of devotion, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is the purport right here, it says that one shouldn't worship or offer obeisances or wash the feet of devotees in front of a deity. And we don't follow that. In other words, what he was saying, that you allow us to do that with you, even in front of the curtain open. And Srila Prabhupada just said, oh, dilemma. Dilemma. One word, which is a very charming reply. Not that the person only had any problem with that. The strategy describes in detail that incident. So, oops, I lost the page. Let's get back to it. Alright, so when Lord Chaitanya said, I now do not know what my destination is because of this offense. Indeed, your Bengali Vaishnava has greatly implicated me. So at this point, Lord Chaitanya's main assistant, Swarup Damodar, he caught the Gaudiya Vaishnava by the neck and giving him a little push. It's not like he threw him out violently, but giving him a little push, ejected him from the Gundicha Puri temple and made him stay outside. And then he asked Lord Chaitanya to please excuse this innocent person. So, Lord Chaitanya was very satisfied after the incident, actually. And then they started going after the little tiny specks of dust. I mean, they became so meticulous in cleansing the temple, getting ready for the arrival of the Lord. Does anyone know, is this the temple where the Lord stays when he catches the cold in Gundicha? Yeah. Because the Lord gets bathed and then he catches a cold, Lord Jagannath. So he stays in his temple room teaching. So he's getting ready for him.
This is where he stayed after Prabhupada.
Oh.
He goes to Gundicha.
But it's not where he goes to convalesce from catching a cold. Gundicha temple, is that where the Lord goes? He has to go someplace to get well after catching a cold. Alright, that's what I'm saying. Alright, there we go. Krishna, Krishna. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was picking up the straws and grains of the sand, he said, I shall gather everyone's collection, and I shall ask whoever has collected less than all the others to pay a fine
of sweet cakes and sweet rice. So they were completely cleaned, all the quarters of the Gundicha temple, and all quarters were cool and spotless, like one's cleansed and pacified mind. Outside the gateway of the temple, all the roads were also cleansed, and no one could tell exactly how this was done. Some mystic, some miracle there. That was not done in any external manner. So, I looked in a database, and the purport looked pretty long. But now as I look in the actual physical book, it looks impossibly long. So I'll try to read some excerpts. This is a very instructive purport. A lesson that we can learn of this pastime. Hey mata pura dvara ahe pata yata sakala sodila taha jayvani vekatam. Again, outside the gateway of the temple, all the roads were also cleansed, and no one could tell exactly how this was done. Now the purport, there's no purport practically in all of these verses, 60 verses or so. I only got a few. Describing the detail of the cleansing of the temple. So this purport here, very extensive purport, is kind of like a purport for the whole section. It's not only a purport of this one detailed verse that we just heard. So Prabhupada quotes from his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. We have a wonderful picture of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta here. And he says that Lord Chaitanya was personally teaching how one should receive Krishna. Krishna is in everyone's heart, but most people are not feeling or having darshan of the Lord in one's heart. Even though the Lord is there, but it's almost like for the non-devotee or the mundaner, it's almost like he's not there. They don't recognize him, nor are they trying to connect to this Paramatma, to the Lord in the heart. So the idea here is that one has to cleanse one's heart in order for the Lord to be there. There's this one pastime where Lord Chaitanya took his meal at the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and his son-in-law, his name was Amoga, was very offensive to Lord Chaitanya. He wanted to make an offense, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was keeping him at bay, not eBay. Keeping him at a distance. And then he had to go get some preparation for Lord Chaitanya, and Amoga took advantage and he snuck in. And immediately he was saying that, oh, sannyasis will fall down, look how much you're eating, you're taking so much, and like that. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he saw that happen, he became completely furious and started chasing after Amoga with a stick. He wanted to beat him like anything. But Amoga got away. And Lord Chaitanya was just laughing and said, no, he's just a young boy with it. Afterwards, Sarvabhauma started fasting, and his wife started fasting, and she started beating her breast and saying, oh, I should become, let my daughter become a widow or something like that. And then Amoga got cholera. And Lord Chaitanya said the same thing, the same idea, that the heart should be an immaculate place. It's the sitting place of the Lord. How have you let your heart become so contaminated with offenses? He told Amoga. After he cured Amoga of his cholera, because Amoga was on the verge of dying, and Lord Chaitanya just touched him and he immediately became cured. And became ecstatic and was so repentant, he started slapping his face. And his face became all red. And Lord Chaitanya told him to stop. But then he instructed him like that. So the heart. So the heart should be the heart should be like kept very clean. So this is what, this is the. Now when I say this extended metaphor or this example, we shouldn't think that this is just some allegory, that this is, didn't really happen. This really happened. They really cleaned the temple like that. Lord Chaitanya, they were ecstatic and chanting, and Lord Chaitanya crying, and 100
buckets and 100 rooms and everything took place. But at the same time, there is a very extensive lesson to be learned about that it could be compared, and it was compared by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur with the process of how we have to cleanse our own hearts. So this is a really long purport, but I'm just going to try to summarize. So the process of cleansing the heart is described in thousands of verses in so many places, and of all the processes, the most positive is that of hearing the glories of the Lord. Prabhupada quotes in the purport, Bhagavatam 1-17, Srimrata Svata Svata Krishna Pumya Shravana Kirtana, that this cleanses the heart of the devotee who is a little sincere, who has some desire to hear the messages of the Lord, by hearing especially Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, of course Chaitanya Charitamrita, then one's heart becomes cleansed. That just that hearing in itself is pious activity. The devotee who relishes his messages, which are themselves virtuous and properly heard and chanted. So, in the purport, I assume Prabhupada is taking this from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, it's such a very exact comparison between what we just heard about cleaning the temple. First it was cleaned in a more gross way, you know, just the major dirt was taken out. After that it was cleaned in a more subtle way, the little tiny specks were taken out. And this is what we need to do. Sometimes we see that devotees, they've reached a certain level of purity, but they're still working on the more subtle aspect. Sometimes, if one doesn't take care to also purify the more subtle material desires, then that could cause a problem. And it could even, because one has reached a certain level of advancement, one may be given an important position of spiritual leadership. And then if one still has subtle contaminations in the heart, then something very unfortunate can occur because of one's the standard that one is expected to maintain. One may not be able to do that. So, Prabhupada talks about the traditional situation in Vedic culture, but also compares the modern situation where there's so much scientific, technological progress and so much, there's such a whirlwind of food and activity. And that's the type of contamination, desire for food and activity, whether it's Vedic and worshipping devatas and trying to get some very nice phala or fruit of the results of one's worship and sacrifices, or whether it's very modern and just working hard, getting money. It's all basically essentially the same, and it's not very... the heart is still not prepared to receive the Lord and to actually make a real success of the human form of life. And so many practices, impersonal speculation, monism, merging into the existence of the Supreme. Mystic yoga, meditation, they're all compared to grains of sand. That was the last part of Lord Chaitanya's cleansing. He picked up these little tiny grains of sand along with his many devotees, making sure that the temple was completely clean. So these also just cause irritations of the heart.
The Lord can't be satisfied by such activities in and of themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, if we can use computers in the service of the Lord, then certainly we can use philosophy and yoga and so many Vedic activities. Meditation, we even say mantra meditation, so it's not that they can't be used. But in and of themselves, without connection to the Lord, then ultimately they may be very refined and very, in one sense, elevated material activities, but they fall short of really deserving the term spiritual in any deep sense of the term. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, Prabhupada says, that even though one may become free from the desire for fruitive activities, sometimes the subtle desire for fruitive activity comes into being within the heart. One often thinks of conducting business to improve devotional activity. However, the contamination is so strong that it may later develop into misunderstanding, described as kuti nati, fault finding, and pratistas. So this is, this now, Prabhupada, following his Guru Maharaj, describes a whole series of unwanted things. And these are described in many different contexts. We hear about the different processes of advancing in devotional service given by Srila Rupa Goswami. So there's this, we already heard Chaito Dharpana Marginam, cleansing the mirror of the mind. But then we have Anartha Nivritti, where the unwanted contaminations in the heart, the anarthas, unwanted things, have to be removed. And that's a very, very extended process. Again, it may start off with the gross things. One joins Hare Krishna movement, and one must follow four regular principles. That's a big challenge and a great beginning. But then one may be following those four regular principles for many years, but subtly he may be transgressing not only the regular principles, but just the general principle of devotional service, of becoming more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, always ready to offer all respect to others. And we may see many amongst ourselves who are quite strict in following the regular principles, but still we may still fall prey to these more subtle anarchists, and sometimes they come out and it's not so subtle. You know, don't fight. You know, even amongst devotees, that's what happens. So it's not exactly the same as cat and dog fighting for sense gratification. Maybe one devotee wants to serve Krishna like this, and another devotee wants to serve Krishna a different way, and then they have some argument. But sometimes, at any rate, it's not very conducive to really pleasing the Lord. Too much dispute like that. And then it could be pride. Now, there's another context in which these items are mentioned, and they're described in a different part of Chaitanya Charitamrita. The bhakti lata bija, the creeper of devotion that is planted by the spiritual master in the heart of the disciple. And it starts to grow because it's properly watered. By chanting the holy name and this process of healing that we're talking about. And it grows and it grows, and it describes how that creeper devotion penetrates all the coverings of the material universe and finally enters into the Loka Vrindavan and takes shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. But there's a problem that in the process of watering a plant, sometimes weeds also grow. So these different processes described here are unwanted creepers that have to be distinguished from the principal creeper of devotional service. If one chants even the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, there's always benefit. But if one is committing many offenses when he's chanting, that same chanting may also simultaneously cause the unwanted creepers to grow. And what are those unwanted creepers? Kutinata, fault-finding or diplomacy. Pratistasa, the desire for name and fame or for high position. jiva himsa, envy of other living entities. There's a verse in Bhagavatam, this is devotee, it's in Canto 3, describing devotional service, Lord Kapila Deva teaching, and he's giving different guidelines how a devotee should act. And in one shloka, it's described that a devotee should perform his devotional service without unnecessary violence. In other words, if you're in a temple and there's some mice come or something like that, a real devotee will not unnecessarily harm or, what to speak of, kill any living entity. So I know that sometimes hard to practice, but it includes such things. So walking down the street, you should look and see, and a devotee will go out of his way to not step on ants. And in India, there are so many ants in some places. And in Vrindavan, there's one path where, even though I know devotees are trying not to step on the ants, but after the ant season is going on for a while, I see so many dead ants. So the devotees should be aware of this and really try to minimize. Sometimes it's just unavoidable. Therefore, we have to really be very sincere in devotional service, because even unknowing sinful activity also affects us and will undermine our devotional frequency. So that's called jiva himsa. Like Lord Buddha was teaching ahimsa, not to be violent to other living entity. What else is nishidachara, accepting things forbidden in the shastra. Kama, desire for material gain. Puja, hankering for popularity. Puja literally, of course, means worship. So everyone wants to be worshipped. Not everybody, but most. And the word kutinati, which is already mentioned, and here it's defined again, duplicity. One, for instance, shouldn't imitate Haridas Thakur by going in a solitary place just so everyone will think I'm a great devotee. Sri Bhaktisiddhanta himself rebuked himself. He wrote this book, Vaishnav K. What kind of Vaishnav are you going to, for name and fame, going to a solitary place? That wasn't his motive. He had taken a vow to chant 1 billion names of the Lord. And he was so staunch and so austere and so fixed in chanting. But his father came, or he sent others to come and say, hey son, we have a lot of books to print. We have a lot of work to do. And you have to spread this mission. So please give up this vow. And he surrendered to them. So these are all material desires, and these are all compared with the different types of dirts that were there in the Gundicha temple that Rajikan was cleansing. Of course, the jiva himsa, envy of other living entities, Prabhupada says, really means stopping the preaching of Krishna consciousness. So there are certain parts in the world where there are where there are direct attacks on the devotees. And that's really the worst example of jiva himsa. Because one is not only hurting the bodies of the devotees, but also interfering with the devotees' merciful spreading of the real panacea, the real solution to all problems. So that's, imagine how many weeds grow. This jiva himsa interfering with spiritual development. One should not make a compromise with maya bodies. That's also material activity. So by his practical activities, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed us how to cleanse our hearts. So if we just meditate, I hope you'll have time to read this at home. I hope many of you have this literature. You read how Lord Chaitanya was cleaning that temple. It's a very ecstatic pastime. But then by meditating on that, we can also think about, wow, I have a lot of cleaning to do in my heart. And I still have a lot of work to do. Most of us would be honest enough to admit that. And then do the needful.
We don't have to get brooms and buckets of water and things like that. We just have to hear with attention. We have to become shu-shu-bi, very anxious to hear. And that way, chaitra dharpana marjanam, cleanse the mirror of the mind and cleanse the heart. Then, just like the clean marble in the temple, our heart will become very clean and pure, and our mind will become very peaceful. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ashantasya Kutakshukam, how will there be happiness without peace? So those who are engaged as acharyas must learn from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to train devotees by personal example. So the Lord was very pleased with those who could cleanse the temple by taking out undesirable things accumulated within. This is called, as I mentioned earlier, anartha nivritti. Anartha. Artha is something desirable, like wealth or something. And anartha is something not desirable. Because for devotees, sometimes wealth can be a problem if it's not very advanced. But generally, artha, or wealth, dharma artha, kama moksha. So wealth is something people want. Says in Bhagavatam, money sweeter than honey. People will do anything for it. But anartha is something unwanted, and nivritti means to be free from that. So that's cleansing the heart of all unwanted things. Thus the cleansing of the Kundicha Mandir was conducted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to let us know how the heart should be cleansed and soothed. Soothed in the sense that our hearts are burning. And by cleansing it of lust and greed and anger, then the heart becomes very cool and we become very peaceful, just like the marble in the Gundicha Mandir. So to receive Lord Sri Krishna, so not only that I feel okay, but that I can really receive. Yes, the Lord is there, He's in the heart of all living entities, even subhumans. But so the Lord can really sit there in a way that I could actually hear Him and connect with Him and feel His presence in my heart, then we have to make our heart a very nice sitting place for the Lord. So He'll be able to sit within our heart without disturbance. I mentioned in that song that we sang the importance of associating with devotees. So there's a direct relationship. These things are so interconnected. The idea of we become purified individually, then we'll be able to be much more effective and have a much more ecstatic relationships amongst the devotees. Here in this temple, we all have very nice relationships. But they could even become more enriched and more deeper and even more sincere and more spontaneous, we can say, in proportion to how all of our hearts are becoming more and more purified. In Nectar of Devotion, at the beginning of Nectar of Devotion, which some of you are coming on Wednesday to study, although you're still in the beginning, but even what you already heard, you've already studied the, you know the word kleshagni, kleshagni, which means to gni, is to destroy misery. So one of the benefits even of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, or even the beginning stage of devotional service under the rules and regulations, that already carries two benefits. One is Kleshagni, going on with the other one? Dubada. Kleshagni means that it destroys all misery. And the other is Subada, that means that it provides, it's all auspicious. So even at the very beginning, you get these two wonderful benefits. And then under the heading of Kleshagni, there's a long description of how all different stages of sinful reaction are destroyed. Sinful reaction is like a syndrome. So, by the process of devotional service, beginning with Shravanam, hearing, then these unwanted things are destroyed, and that's the way that devotional service destroys misery. Because otherwise, even if one performs some sort of atonement or expiation,
or one made some sacrifice. Or, there's so many things in different religions that people do. Someone advised, what was his name? Gunana Bhavishra? To drink boiling ghee because someone tried to convert him into a Muslim. And there's so many different acts of atonement. But the problem is, or even one goes to hell, and the Yamadutas in the subtle body, one gets tortured in so many different ways and has to go through different species of life and then comes back. Here we are again, human being. But the problem with it is that the cycle of sinful activity includes the desire for sinful activity is one of the sinful reactions. That's called kuta or bija. That there's a seed of sin or a desire, a latent desire is there. So then how can one ever get out of that? By bhakti, by performing devotional service. That's the only way to break this vicious cycle of sin. Because it's not just a question of somehow becoming free from the reaction. That'll happen anyway after one suffers. But then they'll have another reaction. Why? Because the desire to commit sin will still be there and it'll just go on endlessly. So how to get rid of this desire for sinful activity? That's Chaitva Dharpana Marjana. Anartana Dhriti. The heart must become purified. And devotional service is effective in that way. So I'll stop here. I just wanted to share that pastime with you. Today is the anniversary. And we do have some time now. Not so much, but we have about 15 minutes, which will go by very, very quickly. If there are any questions, if not any questions, we could chant Hare Krishna, or maybe have Bhajan, or maybe speak a little more. But it would be nice if there's some questions. Yes, Ajita Prabhu.
Part of the process of cleaning something is becoming aware of how dirty it is. So if we can't see what the situation is, we don't really know what to do. So with that in mind, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, performing devotional service, we start to become aware of how much work there is to do internally. Do you have some advice about how to become aware of our anarthas and our attachments, at the same time not become discouraged? It's just too difficult.
Yeah, there's a nectar of instruction. There are instructions how to advance in Krishna consciousness, and there are instructions warning about different character traits which are causes of fall down. So one is utsaha, endeavoring with enthusiasm, but then there's also dairya as well, patience. If one is only enthusiastic, it's like the mode of passion. And if one is only patient with no enthusiasm, it could be like lethargy or the mode of ignorance. But both together are ideal. That one is enthusiastic and that one is also patient. And that doesn't only mean, like for instance, I'm trying to help a little in Colombia, in South America. It's one of the places that I go to during the course of the year. And we're trying to build a small temple. And they were so enthusiastic at the beginning that they dug a big trench in the ground. But then some became discouraged and didn't like the idea. So for like a year and a half, there's this big hole in the property. And now I think finally, the actual construction is starting. So that work is not only constructing a temple, but what I told the devotees there is that the real foundation, there was some argument what kind of foundation should be there and what kind of structure they'll have. So I said the real foundation of the temple is the relationship between the devotees, that there's social cohesion in the community, the small community that own that land. That's the real foundation of the temple, rather than just the cement or whatever material you're going to use for the foundation. So the work that we need to do, that we're... we can apply this idea of enthusiasm and patience also is our own inner work that we have.
And I know what you're driving at. Devotional service is a razor's edge. That means that sometimes there's some very fine discrimination. Because this idea of being very humble and considering yourself lower than the grass in the street. The author of Chaitanya Charitamrita said that I'm more fallen than a worm in stool. I'm lower than a worm in stool. I mean, you know, one may think that there's something wrong with Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. How can he describe himself in such a way? Maybe he has some type of mental unbalance or something to describe himself. But this is not unbecoming a very advanced devotee. He's not saying it as a joke. He actually feels that way. He sees a living entity in every living entity. He doesn't discriminate. He's on an extremely advanced platform, seeing Krishna everywhere. But we sometimes, in the name of humility, we may just become depressed, which is actually the mode of ignorance. And in the name of, again, humility, we may just become useless. I mean, you know, we just, oh, I can't do it, I'm too fallen to go into Sankirtan, I'm too fallen to clean the temple, I'm too fallen to do anything. I can't follow the principles very well, I'm so weak, I'm so fallen, I just wait for the mercy to come, or something like that. No, if we're so fallen, then we as you were suggesting, the more we recognize our weaknesses, then the more that we're at all sincere, then we'll take more shelter of the holy name, and we'll try not so much to artificially try to perform austerities that we may not be on a platform that we can really do, but rather than this idea of repression and restraint, but the idea of purifying. The idea that I know that I have to become purified. So how can I become purified? So let me do that. It's true, it can be tricky. But we can probably detect it in others, so we should also learn to detect it ourselves. When we're cheating ourselves by thinking I'm so humble, actually I'm just lazy. I not only mean lazy in terms of going and doing things externally, but lazy in terms of the most difficult kind of work, which is the gross and subtle cleansing of my own anarchist to actually deal with those issues that I have within me. And we all have them, and we all have different ones. Some of us have worse ones than others, you could say. And we all, and not all, I mean 99%, we have a lot of work to do. Sometimes it's described like boiling the ghee, in other words, sometimes a big bubble comes up or something like that, of impurity, and it could be quite embarrassing. But we have to tolerate, in a sense, not that we put up with it and say it doesn't matter, but we should recognize that this is part of it. I'm actually very fortunate because these things are becoming unhidden. Like, you know, if you sweep things under the rug, and you pick up the rug and see all kinds of filth. So it's better that when they cleaned the Gundicha temple, there was no area that was covered. We just heard how Lord Chaitanya moved the asana and then cleaned where that was and then put it back himself with his own hands. So I think that's a wonderful example. So if we hear, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I think it was just yesterday or the day before was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance day. And he wrote so many songs in the mood of great humility, great criticizing himself and says, being so fallen, oh Gopinath, if you examine me, you'll find no good qualities. I am a materialistic rascal, always full of lust. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur displayed ideal character. But when we think of the purity of Goloka Vrindavan, the purity of the spiritual world, then even the best amongst us can feel very humble and feel like we're so contaminated. We have so much work to do. The real test is how we relate to one another. I mean, that's a wonderful test of how we're actually doing. And we may, like by ourselves, we may be able to keep up a certain rigid pattern of sadhana and activities. Then we come together with other devotees and all hell breaks loose sometimes. I don't mean to exaggerate, as they say here in East Hartford, Mandir, in and the community seems to get along very nicely, when I can see. But there are always tests along those lines. You see that in the community. I hope that's okay. I'm sorry the answer was a little long. One other question? Yes, Chaitanya Guru.
I'm going to spend something on the same matter about when Uddhava, he asked the same question to Krishna in the 11th century, Krishna told him, it looks, you know, like a disciple in the beginning, they used to fall down, but don't be, you never, don't be like sad or depressed, because it's natural. So just keep going, and then you're going to get a message.
Yeah, there's a shloka to that effect where Lord Sri Krishna tells Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita, which is another similar but parallel to Bhagavad Gita, but spoken to Uddhava just before Lord Chaitanya's disappearance, but just before Lord Sri Krishna's disappearance 5,000 years ago. And he said, even though a devotee at the beginning may not be able to fully control his senses and may have some problem, but he never, but because of his sincerely trying to serve me, Krishna says, and perform devotional service, he never becomes overwhelmed by sense gratification. He doesn't become just like fallen, as a non-devotee. So it is a very encouraging verse. Of course, we have in Bhagavad Gita even more extreme statement. If one is actually fixed, is actually sincere, he describes as properly situated in his determination, then even if he had some accidental fall down, he should still be considered saintly. Something that we don't write him off. Of course, some of the acharyas comment that such a devotee should feel very repentant. So whether it's just that I feel that material desires still sometimes harass me, or whether it's that I'm actually having a fall down, even on a gross platform, and something very embarrassing occurs, something very unbecoming, you can say. Still, in either case, should one, again, there it is, that fine line, that discrimination. On the one hand, one shouldn't become discouraged and get all depressed and become useless and not make any contribution to the Krishna consciousness movement, maybe stop chanting the 16 rounds, or they say in Spanish, aflojar, become very loose in his practice. But one shouldn't, on the other hand, one shouldn't, in the name of not becoming discouraged, it doesn't mean that one just takes it lightly. Others may encourage, others may say, well, this happens, you know, it happens to the best of us, you know, it's just like those, like the boiling the ghee and these big bubbles come up. I mean, okay, so it happened, don't worry about it, you're a great devotee, you're wonderful, please. So it's not like we should think that one should be repentant, one should say, this is not proper. I must take measures that this will not happen again. As it's stated in Bhagavad Gita, Vishaya Vinivartante Naraharasya Dehina Rasovargam Rasokyasya Param Rishva Vivartate. That the senses may be restricted from sense enjoyment, but the taste of sense objects remain. But seizing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, one becomes truly fixed in consciousness. So we have to make it our business. We owe it to ourselves to constantly allow ourselves a higher taste. We should get the higher taste in all areas of Krishna consciousness, whether it's the philosophy or even prasadam or the bhajan, the music, and the activities in general of devotional service. As I said, in many temples they still have what's called maha cleanup. So here's the original maha cleanup. You know,
we hear about in the Gurdicha Mandir. Nobody was like lazy. Nobody was like dissatisfied with the service. Even the Lord himself was so enthusiastic, even though the temple, Handicha, the head of the temple, said, "Oh my Lord, this is not fitting for you to do this service." But he was very, very happy to clean the temple of the Lord. And we should be equally happy to clean the Lord's temple and clean our hearts. In 1974, when the devotees had just recently bought the current building in Boston, 72 Con Ave, I was doing a service that I would do like once every few days, like just cleaning the stairs, the wooden stairs, sweeping, that's all. And then my senior class sister, Mother Sumati, she came up to me and she said, "Oh, Bhaktalan, you're cleaning your heart." She told me, and I said, "No, I'm sweeping the stairs." But soon I understood what she was actually talking about. Yari Mohan told me that we should stop at 6:45, but we could go on till 6:50. So if there's one last question, someone has something they'd like to ask about, otherwise we can end here. Okay, so I think it's almost time for heartbeat and kirtan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki Jai, Jagat Guru Sri Prabhupada ki Jai.